Okay, let's go back to the submission on the top of I am Alpha Modalis. That's what we're doing. Nadravihi Alusa. An engaged woman makes a neder. Nitkarsha Bobayom. And on that same day, they get divorced. Now, the divorce of an Alusa. We talked about this last week. Nitkarsha Bobayom. Afilu Lamea. Aviha Uvalaha Achon Meshir Nidareha. Because when she gets divorced, she goes back to being a Nara Bavet Aviha.
Is there any
Havamina that would have been different? The idea that the halacha is that after the divorce, a woman has to wait 3 months before remarrying. That's halacha. It's halacha de rabbanon, but it's halacha. B'di'evet, you get divorced, and you know, right there in the bed, then you get somebody's mekadesh you, so you're married. But you have to wait 3 months in between. So the flesh will understand what this is. I'm not here to just say, theoretical case. I mean, getting married and divorced 100 times in a day, it's obviously we're talking about a theoretical case. So that's the machlokes, exactly.
Well, 3 months make sense for pregnancy.
So 3 months, what's the purpose of the 3 months? The 3 months is to have a intermezzo between the first husband and the second husband, so there should be no question if she should have a child who was born prematurely from the second husband, there should be no question of the paternity of that child. You know, Chazal had this idea that there was such a thing as a 6 month baby. Right, that there was such a thing as a full term pregnancy, which was only 6 months.
Also, kind of you could have like more than number, like a year.
Right. So we know that gestation is a kind of standard, and anything that's a deviation from that standard is.
This is the origin of the term Shlomil.
Yeah.
And it's like all these different things, but Shlomil was like, I'm lucky to be a Shlomil. But apparently, the most likely story comes from the two brothers of Mahril, who had this guy whose name was Shlomil, and he went away on a trip and came back a year later and so they were like debating this question of whether she could have maybe lived a year on
this is mature, this is Mahril?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So apparently that was like the definition of being in the wrong place for a long time. Uh-huh. And so trying to find out that it was really a year
long. And the assumption is that the name Shlomil in the tshuva was his name, or it was a plony?
No, it was his name, but it became like such a case of the guy who was such a Shlomil that he ended up leaving and thinking that maybe his wife was actually sort of a year-long pregnancy that this
father. I mean, it sounds like something from a Shlomo Malevich story.
None of these stories, this is the one that made the most sense also in terms of like the name Shlomil, instead of Shlomil, whatever, it was like...
Right.
Who knows, but that was the story they said.
And why not presume that there's an actual tshuva in the Mahril, but the names were changed to protect the innocent, and the name that was chosen, you've got to choose a name that the term Shlomil for Bishmazal is...
Mahril doesn't make fun of him, he just says he's actually related to the question of Kudim.
In other words, he could have also called him Kudim. And we don't understood why he called him Shlomil. So if in the times of the Mahril, Shlomil was already a term for a guy, what's the older difference between Shlomil and Shlomazel? The Shamil fills the soup, the Shamil will get the soup spilled on him. But, in this case, he's more of a Shamil. But,
review my first. I got an article by a very early article by
Lamb. Really? Tell me more. The idea of the 3 month intermission between marriages was because there should be no question of the paternity of a child born. Not full term. This happens. You know, I have a very close friend who's a prominent rabbi who aided his wedding. Got pregnant right away. Their daughter was born, 7.5 months later, prematurely. And it raised an eyebrow. Second.
The wedding was very close.
Yeah.
And then a child born in church 7 months later, not in the church.
You're mistaken. Last year, I was an aide at a guest, which I've never, it was an experience I'd never had before. And afterwards, like as the bedroom was like wrapping things up, and they did say, as opposed to all the stereotypical stories you hear about how unpleasant the whole thing is, the bedroom afterwards conducted themselves with decorum and dignity, and they did their best to, you know. Even in the best of circumstances, it was an unpleasant experience for all to do it in the most dignified way, let's say. When they were over, they were going through some procedural things that they each got copies of certain documents and what they had to do in terms of changing the status of the certain, all these kinds of bureaucratic things. And they say to her, you cannot remarry for 3 months from today. And they said to him, and say, you can get married today. Like that was like the one tone deaf note that was struck in a thing. And we all, the ex-husband, ex-wife, me, she had a friend there, we all just kind of like did a, what? Really? Okay. Back to the Mishnah. Wait a second. Is that all checked? Because you're suggesting. So the 3 month thing, so Yesh Amrim, that since the point of it is an issue of paternity, so in the case of an Arus, it's irrelevant. So therefore, an Arus that gets divorced, and I was not against divorce, need not wait 3 months. And not only does it go with our Mishnah, but our Mishnah may be a support or the proof for this position, which is actually advanced by the Grah, that an Arusah who divorces need not wait 3 months. Horaya, in our Mishnah, she gets divorced 100 times in the same day. The other position says no, that we say lo plug, that a divorce is a divorce, and you have to wait 3 months in between. And this Mishnah is talking more on a point of theoretical or hypothetical case. Obviously, 100 times in one day is an indicator that it's not an actual.
Zehakol, kol shelo yasav reshut atzma, shel shahar, vi yavar alayach ha-mashah. So the Gemara asks, minnawan.
After Arus, achron, mefir nedereha. So how do we know, where's the din, where do we get the din, that the Arus achron is the one who's made fear her neighbor. Whoever's on deck, whoever's the current.
I think that's my question from last week. Like, why does if he's the first husband was the one who experienced
this,
and why,
what,
how did the second
half
get involved in it?
Ah, so in other words, the first has the Shemir Rishon. Right? In other words, the first has been used in Eder. But before he takes any action, right, he can be making it, he can be made for it, or he can do nothing the Yom Shom'o, and then it de facto goes into effect. He does nothing. Instead, he divorces her. Whether he divorces her in the course of the Neder, or he divorces her irrelevant to the Neder, we don't know. It doesn't seem relevant. The Gemara will ask that question momentarily. So, now on the Arus Acharon, Meshir Nedarim, Shemiru La'arus HaRishon. She's married to Reuben. She's engaged to Reuben. She's engaged to
Reuben.
And then he divorces her, so she gets engaged to Shimon.
And her father has total rights now from the Neder.
In between the Tirokna La'av. But the Av does nothing.
Yeah,
what? At the in the 10 minutes between the Gittin and the Kiddushin, so Omar Shmuel, Omar Kra, the Im Hayuti Yeluish Unidareha Aleha Nidareim Shahayu Aleha Kfar. So she goes off to another man. Translate figuratively with the nedarim in tow. The nedarim malel. Her vows are upon her. Nedarim shayu aleha kfar. She carries her existing nedarim with her into the marriage. That neder that the first husband heard and did nothing about. It's still in play.
So this applies also if there wasn't even a first, a second. So if let's say she makes a neder before she's engaged.
Yeah.
That day, and then she gets engaged, so the first husband can still. It's not like she was not in that ra'a rishta, but if the father hasn't done anything that day, then she suddenly becomes in that ra'a rishta with both the means of an operate. Right? Because otherwise, that's what you're saying.
On the day that she was engaged, she makes her neder. Yes.
Before she gets engaged.
Yeah. Right? And the father hadn't done anything.
The father never. You can become a ra'a rishta with all the requirements of both having to sign off, even if at one point during that you weren't, you were just a plain marriage.
I believe so.
But that's a good thing here, at least in terms of the middle period.
So Dilma Hani means Shaloni Ula Usa Risha. Maybe that's the case if the first husband, or the first Arus, didn't know about the Neder. Aval nidarim shenirul arus harishon lo matzineh arus aso. So maybe that whoever the last guy on deck is gets to pass the vote up or down applies.
Only the other ones didn't hear that.
Right.
Why would that be?
Because then he's the first one of record. Because maybe there's another way to cancel out.
I think that's what I asked last week. I think that I should do the degree of sense because Yom Shom'o, the second one, couldn't have heard it because the person to hear it, he was going to have to hear it. Once you have someone to hear it, you can't have it. It's one person here again. The first one heard it, so then that's it. It's not passed on to another person here.
And the first one heard it, so then the second one has no
connection. Not going to hear it.
What do you mean, not going
to hear it? Why does the story that the first one heard it, they get divorced, goes back to the law, and then she gets engaged again. And the second one doesn't hear it.
No, the second one hears about it. The first one didn't hear about it. She carries the neder into the subsequent marriages. The Gemara asks, maybe that only applies when the first husband didn't know about it, and therefore couldn't have taken action. And therefore, when she gets engaged the second time, it's the same case that David gave of a ne'ara, makes a neder. That day she gets engaged, that husband has the right. In other words, the first husband is as if he didn't exist for the purposes of this neder, because he didn't know about it before he divorced her.
I understand what the girl is saying, but I'm just saying, why does the girl have to say that? Why doesn't it make any perfect sense that each husband is a new husband? It doesn't make any difference. Even through 100 of them. It temporarily goes to the father, and it goes to the second one. Why do you need this analysis?
Because if the first husband knew about it, if the first husband knew about it, all of the same day, if the first husband knew about it and gave it the thumbs down and was missing, then all the subsequent husbands had no whether they wanted the neder or not. If the first husband was making,
well, maybe he's in love. Well, I think that's the idea of the word aleha. The neder was aleha, and then it was two neders and a kid. The neder was aleha, it needed one husband, but then it moved to the sense of the father in law once they heard about it.
Right. But if the first husband, doesn't hear about it, then it's still aleha, and it rolls over to the next marriage. If he hears about
it,
So the Gemara is about, you won't be surprised to discover that the Gemara is about to postulate maybe a divorce is like hitting the reset button. Maybe the divorce itself resets. Why? Reset it to what? Reset it to? Right. Let's go on.
I think we want to specific. You just show them the word begins after the Dorea on the Green Shayu and that card. From the Dilma.
Dilma Hanimili may be this statement that the Nadarim that were on her in the past carry over. Maybe that's only talking about cases where the first husband did not know Shelo Niru, that the first husband was unaware of the Nadar. But if Aval Nadarim Sheniru La'arus HaRishon, and he did nothing, not up, not down, nothing, he just divorced her, Lo Matsi Meferus Achron, then the second husband should not have. Ah, so the Gemara says, Aleha Krayeterahu. The word in the Pasuk, Nedarim Aleha, that the Nedarim on her is a string. Right? You can learn from Aleha that all of the Nedarim, including the ones that the first Aluf had been aware of, carry over and are now in the prerogative of the second husband to make a decision. Nedarim. The im hayutiel ish. In other words, nidareha, her nidareim, oreha, are on her. Right? Get carried over. So panikavati the shmuel. Nara hamurasa, avihu bala, mefir nidareha. Ketzad, shama aviha, vehesherba. Velo hispik habal shmoa ad shemit. This is, we've seen this right before. V'mit'asa bo bayom. V'afilu mea pa'amir. Avia u'balea afro mishrim u'dereha. Right? It's a different, it's a more, in some ways it's a more explicit version of our Mishnah.
It's referring to marriage and divorce. I mean, death and divorce.
No, because it says explicitly, the lo hispika balishmo, I think. Right?
But there's no difference between
the
divorce.
No, yeah, whether it's a divorce or it's a death, it should not be. Vakila mea partner, right? She would be bad luck. Can you imagine? So Shmuel seems to be like the Gemara's reading of the Mishnah. Shama ba'ala v'hefela. The lowest speaker av l'shmoa ad shemek ha'bal chozer ha'av u'mesir chelko shel ha'bal. That's the din of Nidrokna. Omer Rabbi Nathan, Hein Hein Diver Beit Shammai. This is all according to the position of Beit Shammai. About Beit Hillel Omrim, Ein Yechol L'Hafir. The father can't be Mesir, the Neder on his own. Right?
Under which case?
That each of them, that is Beit Shammai says that each, the father and the husband, whoever it is, right, whoever is now on that, that each of them can be mefer half of the neder. But Beit Hillel says the father can't be mefer the neder on his own. No, so this is the figure that we saw. And the Gemara's going to mention is we've seen this figure for about Major's days. In other words, when the husband dies on that day, so how do we look at it? Do we say that this is the case we're talking about, like the two keys and the nuclear bomb? Right? In other words, when he dies, do we say, well, wait, once he was Mayfair, that's it. Well, since he's dead, can it revert to the father? But if it reverts to the father, is it reverting back to the father, and the father just has to do his half? Or does he also have to now execute his right over the half? And do we look at it as a neder that was broken in half? Or do we look at it as a neder which has now gone back to being one neder? Right. Or do you say no? In other words, do you now have two halves of a whole, or do you go back to having a whole? So according to Beit Shammai, he has two halves of a whole, and he has to tick off both boxes.
No, without the ball.
Right? That, what's the Beit Shammai? Choser ha'avu meshech el gozo about. Right?
The Av can do
50% by himself for himself, and now he can execute power over the 50% of the dead husband. Right? But Beit Shammai says, Beit Hillel says, Ein yachol lahafer. No. When the husband dies, the father doesn't become the executor over that half. And therefore, on a technicality, he can't be mefer. The Gemara says, ha guf kasher. Ha guf kasher. Amat. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Bermati gay, Seho Meshamai. Meshamai, Savir Nidarim, Nami Shiraula Oath, Nitrofna Rishutla Av, Umegi Gaye. Now you remember this concept, Umegi Gaye. Jesus. Megiz Gaiz is this idea that, like Gziza, to cut, to sever, right? When the father or the husband of the Na'ara is Nefer, what is he doing? Right? He severs, he cuts off his share of the Neder, his part of the Neder. So how do we look at it? So we look at it if the Neder is completely non-existent, or do we look at it as there's a half a neder? A half a neder is nothing, but it's still a half a neder. But so if we say that it's Megiz Gaiz, that he's cut off his half, right? It's like, I don't know, what would be an example? What would be
Well, he's weak in the neder, but the neder is in some sense still exists.
So the father or the husband, whichever one of them is Nefer, he's cutting off his portion of it, and he enables the husband does it. He enables the father to be Nefer, the Neder, on his own after his death. In other words, when he dies, do we say the whole thing is puff up in smoke? Or do we say that when he dies, there's half a neder left? The half a neder on itself is nothing, except when he dies, Nisrokna, his power goes back to the father, and now the father can do it.
That's another way to look at it, because it seems to me that's not logical. Logically, it's just that we're a concept. Right. It's what's called the mother. And when the golden is still under the father's jurisdiction, he has full rights. Now there's a brief period of time which is in a loop, but she's still at Na'ara, Beit Aviha. So they both have the keys to the nuclear
fight. So that's what Beit Hillel says. Beit Hillel says, "Avihu Balach from Mishum Yedereha, the Lo Megiz Gaiz."
So the other way of saying it is, no, this key, that key doesn't exist anymore, but
it
still can't be
involved with one key. Right. So anyway, so that's Beit Hillel, and that's what happens. So that's why the Mishnah says, the Mishnah like Beit Hillel, that when the husband dies, the Oros dies, and somebody else comes and takes his place, the Neder is still there, and the next husband, Nederei Olea, gets carried over, and now he steps in that. The Gemara now asks the question, Yiboy Elohu. Once it's been activated. Yeah. Okay.
Probably in real life you don't. Once you probably
not. Okay, that's not keys anymore.
Too cold.
What was the same thing about them? Remember that movie when we were kids, or the day after? And War Games. Yeah. And there was something on Slate, or something about how like these two movies like really impacted Reagan. And so probably it's not.
He was like his addiction to movies. Like,
right.
he had to, like, he was not getting some major prices, and he was like, no, I'm going to have to go watch movies.
Well, but they showed the movie to, they showed the day after to, like, the Joint Chiefs of Staff or something. And they apparently were all very profoundly, like, it changed. That scene at the beginning of War Games with the two keys, I presume it's.
But in Cold War history, the scene like that was Khrushchev.
Right.
So Khrushchev is giving a very full-blown description of what would happen in the Cold War. But also, changed his view on
So now, just let's introduce the question before next week. Gemara asks, "Riboy lo gerushin kishtika damya o kehakama damya?" She takes a neder. He divorces her. Whether because the neder annoyed him or independent of it, they're on the way to the Beis Din to give the get, and she takes a neder. He doesn't do anything. Before the second four gives the get, he can be nicer. Right? In a regular case. Right? It's not in an Avraham Arusa. Right? In a regular case, a regular marriage where the husband has full authority over his adult wife and the daughter. So the second before he hands her the get, he can say, and I'll make sure that that nether that she made. And I'm a client that nether. So in other words, so do we say it's like Shtika? In a regular case of a happy marriage, he says, he hears about the neder and he does nothing about it, that is a pocket hakama. Right? It goes into effect at the end of the day.
The question is, if once the divorce is given,
or do we say that once the get is given, it's the equivalent of Shtika? Right?
Well, my turn is
There is no motive, the is stuck with it. If she made it on her own, she would be stuck with it. The only way she can have a neder is if she has a husband to do it. But if she, either way, she's stuck with it.
Well, I'm saying is, once there's a husband in the picture, there's always going to be now dual responsibility, regardless of whether the husband sees the picture or not. Once the husband has entered that picture, this argument would be, we've now changed the game altogether. It can now never again be just one person in the machine. That would be the idea.
Well, here we're talking about the Nara Melissa. I was just talking about her husband and wife.
I know, but look, if the boiler who hears, if it's a Nara Melissa, if it's a Nara Melissa, so if it's like Shtika, so then the father in the remaining hours can be this. If it's like Hakama, then the father's stuck. To be clear, the boy was in the case of a Nara Murasa. In the case of a Nara Murasa. Okay, Lamai Naskinin of the Gemara asks. So that's what we'll go on next week. I apologize, I have to run home earlier this morning.